Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Is there a bridge to peace between Israel and Iran? We'll meet a man using Facebook as a possibility for overcoming that divide. It's no walk in the park. And speaking of parks, what about Proposition P, the Safe and Accessible Arch and Public Parks Initiative, on the ballot in St. Louis City and County next week? It would increase the sales tax in both jurisdictions by 3/16 of a cent for 20 years. How would it be spent, and is it right for you? We're talking about it in this segment with Peter Sortino. He chairs the Pro Proposition P campaign. Jennifer Bird is committee woman with the St. Louis County Republican Central Committee, and I thank you both so much for being with us.
Thank you, Don.
Thank you, Don.
We don't have long to wait now, do we? Next Tuesday, people will be voting in the city and the county. Before we begin, we're pointing out, of course, that this is a proposition that deals both with trails and parks. But it has become known as the arch tax because about 30% of it, as I understand it, would go to fund improvements at the arch. Let's take a quick look at what that involves with Chris McDaniel, St. Louis Public Radio's news reporter.
Ryan McClure with the City Arch River Project is walking me through the arch grounds.
Between 1995 and 2005, the arch had about averaged about 3.3 million visitors a year. Right now, they're averaging about 2.3.
And the decline is pretty evident. While we walked around, we saw a couple school buses and a few families, but the grounds were by no means busy. Now, to be fair, it was a Friday afternoon and slightly chilly, but McClure thinks that the City Arch River Project can stop the trend in the declining number of visitors. One of the biggest changes is connecting the arch to the rest of the city.
So what we're approaching right now, this intersection of Memorial and Chestnut, particularly during times like rush hour, 5 o'clock on a weekday, this is really tough for people to get between the city side of the park and the arch grounds.
McClure and his group say that connecting the city to the arch is important. It encourages visitors to explore and spend money in the city, instead of just using the nearby parking garage and leaving after a trip to the top of the arch. City Arch River has a lot of plans. Putting the park over the highway to make it safer for pedestrians to cross, that costs $36 million. Renovating the old courthouse, add another $16 million. Expanding the museum and exhibits, that's $164 million. Altogether, the project is projected to cost $380 million. The funding comes from a variety of sources, both public and private. But if Prop P goes through, the project would get about $9.5 million a year from the new local sales tax. That money would go towards safety, pathway, and infrastructure changes. Now, if you've heard about Prop P, you've probably heard it referred to as the arch tax. But the name is actually something of a misnomer. The largest chunk of change from the 3/16 of a cent sales tax wouldn't go toward the arch. City Arch River would get 30% of the revenue generated, but another 30% goes to Great Rivers Greenway, a local trails development organization, and 40% actually goes to the city and county parks. The county would get about $10 million for its county and municipal parks. While the other groups might have more grandiose ideas on how to spend the money, County Parks Director Tom Ott says he has more mundane plans.
So we've got deferred maintenance. You ask about the status of the parks. Right now, we've had deferred maintenance over the last 5 to 10 years because of our shrinking budget.
Ott says he's had to dip into the reserves. The money raised by Prop P would be huge, he says, but still wouldn't put them into the range they were at a decade ago.
Okay, that's Chris McDaniel of St. Louis Public Radio's news department. With me in studio once again, Peter Sortino. He chairs the Pro Proposition P campaign. Jennifer Bird is a committee woman with the St. Louis County GOP Central Committee. Peter, what would you add to what you've just heard?
Well, what I'd add is that Proposition P is really about two things. It's about making the Gateway Arch safer and more accessible, as Ryan McClure just described, and you heard the noise and the basic disconnect that noise creates and all the highway traffic creates between downtown St. Louis and the arch itself. And we have to do something about that because it's a symbol of our community. It's a symbol of our region. It's a declining asset. And we also have to do more to expand and improve our regional and local parks and trails. And what this project is really going to do is transform the isolated and inaccessible arch grounds into a gathering place for the entire region that's going to be used by all people of all abilities, because universal accessibility is going to be built in to all these improvements. And that's the same thing that's going to happen with our regional parks, which have become very popular. We have one of the best systems of interconnected parks through trails in the country, over 100 miles of off-road trail. And we also have some of the best parks in the city and the county and the world. And we want to keep them that way well into the future.
Yeah. Jennifer, you've mentioned before we went on the air that you are not anti-park.
I'm a mother. I love going to the various parks around the city and the county. We spend a lot of time enjoying the outdoors.
What's your problem with Proposition P?
Well, first, I think it sets a bad precedent for local entities to take up tax measures for federal grounds. I don't even want the answer to the question, where does that stop? Secondly, the name actually implies that it's, you know, not safe and not accessible. There may be some things that you don't like about how a person gets there, but it's not unsafe and it's not inaccessible. I also take issue with the money. It's going to take $9.3 million just to float the bonds, to underwrite and pay off the yields. And, you know, you're talking about a down economy. So maybe part of the decline on visiting the Arch isn't really about the way that it looks or its operation, but more the down economy. And, you're promoting, or this is being promoted as something that's good for the region, and we're going to be careful of taxpayer money. But they're going to demolish the North End parking garage, and that loses 1,200 parking spaces. And incidentally, we just finished paying for that parking garage. So I feel that there's a complete disconnect with the attitude of where we can better spend our money. And I don't think that losing those parking spaces is a good thing for the Arch grounds.
Peter, does she have a point there?
Well, first and foremost, I firmly believe, and our campaign and everyone involved firmly believes, that something's got to be done with the Arch and the Arch grounds. It is inaccessible. It's poorly lit. There's a lot of safety features that are going to be built into this new design. Second, if we don't do something, if we don't take the lead, when is it going to happen? I say never. So what this initiative is about is taking the symbol of our community and transforming it, reinvigorating it, and us taking the lead locally by participating in it. Now, remember, this tax will also yield great benefits. In the economy today, it's going to improve our economy. 530-plus construction jobs a year in each of the next three years are going to be created by the project. In addition to that, Proposition P, if approved, is going to create 4,400 new permanent jobs. And that is because tourism will increase and more people will come downtown to the Arch and use our parks and trails throughout the region. You know, we're a region that's known as having the greatest system of rivers and streams in the country. These off-road trails, which have become wildly popular, even where Jennifer lives in Crestwood, where the Grand Trail runs through. And people want more of them, which is why Great Rivers Greenway is going to receive a portion of this tax to expand that effort and to create more off-road trails that families from all over the region can use. In terms of some of the other points Jennifer made, I would say in terms of the Arch parking garage, that was paid for by revenue generated from the parking proceeds. The reason that should come down is because that entire area will be reconverted and reprogrammed into a big festival lawn. And for the first time, a national park will be able to accommodate great events and activities all year round, not just at the 4th of July. And that space will be used for that purpose.
Go ahead, Jennifer.
Well, it's just the payment for that has just been completed and you're still losing 1,200 parking spaces. I strongly disagree. I'm looking at how money is going to be spent, and I do know that there are some private funds that are going into this, and that's wonderful. For example, why don't you follow the Forest Park Forever model and take the private funds? And, you know, it's even stated that if this proposition fails, the measures will still go forward, just in a smaller scale and at a little bit of a slower pace. You got Forest Park Forever generated a lot of private funds to do their improvements, and I think that's what needs to happen here. We are broke. We cannot keep piling taxes on. We're looking at a 1 cent sales tax increase across the board next year for roads. We're looking at a half cent sales tax increase to offset the Missouri state income tax. We've got a football stadium that You know, they're going to be asking for more money for that here shortly. We've got Great Rivers Greenway already gets 0.1 cent sales tax. They get $12 million a year in sales tax money. And, I mean, the History Museum, for example, only gets $10 million a year. So you're going to give them an additional $9 million a year. I'd like to know what their four directors and their eight board members' salaries are, because where is our money spent? And is it spent wisely and effectively? And I say no. It's a public-private partnership, which means there's no public oversight. Now, there's a lot of talk about audits and so forth and being careful with taxpayer money, but the last financial report was December of 2011, and it's marked unaudited. And I searched and searched and couldn't even find 2012 reports. So I want to know, you know, what their board members are making, what their directors are making. That's 12 people. You're getting $12 million a year already in sales tax money, and you stand to receive an additional $9 million. I don't agree with it.
And Peter, the Greater Greenway is going to have to expand its staff, is it not? Because it will be overseeing the distribution of funds.
They will be overseeing the distribution of the arch funds, and that's the best feature of this project. There's strict accountability, oversight, and safeguards built into this.
How?
And they're built into this by the General Assembly of the State of Missouri. The authorizing legislation requires an annual independent public audit. Great Rivers Greenways had 11 of them with no irregularities since they were conceived of and approved in 2000.
Are they up to handling this much money? That's a question that has been raised.
We think they definitely are. They have an impeccable record of managing their funds. They are supported by everyone in the community that I know of who enjoys their parks and their trails that they've developed. And one other thing I want to point out, built into this legislation as another safeguard, is this money has been approved in a capital improvements plan that is available to the public, and every dime that's spent on the arch project is in that capital improvement plan, and it has in detail, and it has to be expended exactly that way. So there's strict accountability, and there's full public disclosure of how these tax funds will be used. And just for good measure, the Great Rivers Greenway Board that's appointed by our elected officials in the city and the county and St. Charles County, they're not paid. They're not compensated for their service.
Let me just ask a quick question before we take a break. Why is St. Charles County, did St. Charles County opt out of being a part of this?
They decided that they did not want to participate at this time. There is no reason why they couldn't participate in the future. They're authorized to do it, and that's their choice. They can do it later.
That's Peter Sortino, chairman of the Pro Proposition P campaign. The vote, of course, is next Tuesday. Also with us in studio is Jennifer Byrd, committee woman with the St. Louis County GOP Central Committee. I have to take that break. We'll do that now. We'll come back and have more questions, and we'll take questions from you as well at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. You can email us at talk@stlpublicradio.org. We'll take a tweet at STL on air. You can reach us through Facebook. Back in a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again, and welcome back to our conversation about Proposition P, which is on the ballot in St. Louis City and County. Next Tuesday, it provides for a 0.3 cent increase in the sales tax to support local parks, including the arch grounds and improvements that are contemplated there. Jennifer Byrd is with me in studio, as is Peter Sortino. Jennifer, you wanted to say something before that break.
I'm just curious. You said the directors receive no compensation. What about the board members, and what are the other salaries in Great Rivers Greenway? I'd like to know where the money is spent. If it's truly open, then I think it needs to be completely open. I mean, you're taking my tax dollars as well as others. Again, you're getting $12 million a year in tax money, and you stand to have over $9 million added to that. That's almost doubling. You're currently $2 million more than what the History Museum receives. And let's talk about the History Museum briefly. You're talking about all these, you know, public oversight and measures that would be force things to be in the open so that people would know how the money is being spent. But that doesn't say that if the money is ever misspent that we have any recourse, because we can't vote anyone in or out on these boards. These are appointed positions. And so, you know, we've got, $10 million is 2/3 of the budget for the History Museum. Robert Archibald, for example, received a salary and benefits package of $515,000 annually. He bought the barbecue shack from Freeman Bosley Jr. without an appraisal for $875,000. A later appraisal showed $225,000 value and revealed soil contamination. And he got a golden parachute. $270,000.
That is the History Museum. I don't mean to interrupt, but I want to give Peter a chance to respond because of time limitations.
Right,
we get the point. We know pretty well what went on at the History Museum.
I think there's absolutely no comparison to the History Museum. I just spoke, and I'll speak again, to the fact that strict accountability and administrative safeguards are built into this by the state legislature, and full public disclosure of how the funds are spent are in every audit that Great Rivers Greenway does in the past, did in the past, and will do in the future. And in addition to that, a detailed plan on how these funds are spent is publicly available, and it will continue to be available. Great Rivers Greenway is a public agency, and they will honor that, and they will work towards that in the future. In addition to that, I'd like to point out that this is an affordable tax. It is a very modest tax increase. It's less than 2 cents on a $10 purchase, and it yields many, many benefits. Right now, people who are disabled cannot get around the arch grounds or down to the riverfront. They will be able to if this succeeds, and they will be able to use all our parks throughout the region.
But Jennifer did express some concern about other sales tax increases that are on the horizon and very likely.
Well, I can only speak to this tax, and this is a modest tax. None of those – they're on the horizon in discussion. There's nothing fixed in stone that I know of to date. This was authorized by the General Assembly last spring.
Jennifer.
We got rid of cable because we're trying to find a way to slash our bills. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, we're being nickel and dimed to death here. And this is not a priority. In fact, I think it's a misplaced priority. And, again, I would submit that private funds, they raised $1 million to put this campaign just to throw the campaign out there. $1 million. Excuse me. Perhaps you can have, you know, the Forest Park Forever model and continue to raise public or private donations and continue to move forward as has been already been stated. And it doesn't have to all happen at once. I mean, I moved into an old house. And I did a little bit at a time, a little, because I can't afford it. And I'm not asking anyone to float me. I'm just saying I'm going to do it this way. It makes sense. We don't have these. You talk about these safeguards, but what are they? And how do I, you know, get rid of the person that misspends money? There's no way for me to do that. I'm at the mercy of whatever person appoints people to these board of directors to manage this money. And I don't have confidence in that because we haven't had. Great Rivers Green may have a good track record so far, but what happens when, you know, money corrupts and there is a problem and we can't get rid of them? I disagree.
Well, I want to go to the phones, but Peter, I'll give you a chance to respond, then we'll take some calls.
Let me just say this. This proposition has been endorsed and is supported by more than 40 organizations all across St. Louis City and St. Louis County. It's got a broad breadth of support. Folks in disability organizations are supportive of this. Business organizations are supportive of this, not just park advocates, but a cross-section of the entire community. And everybody believes that safe and accessible parks are important, and we have to do more to make them, keep them that way and make them that way. And every one of these people who endorse this and groups who have endorsed this believe that we should expand and improve regional and local parks and trails.
I would like to take some calls. Hold that thought, Jennifer. We'll come back to it. We'll begin with Jay in Normandy. Jay, thanks for waiting. You're on the air.
Guys, yeah, a question to the gentleman first. I kind of agree with what the lady says about the parking garage. It's too bad that has to go. And number two on him, will I really see a lot more trails? In the map and the post, I don't know if I saw as many new trails as I hoped. So I love bike trails. To the lady, in conservative circles, I have seen kind of a ridiculous thing that says something about don't vote for this because of Agenda 21, which is a conspiracy theory that's totally invalid. I'd like your comments on that. Thank you.
I could take that. First of all, in terms of the garage, there's adequate surplus parking in downtown St. Louis, and there's going to be a new entrance to the museum and a totally new museum underneath the arch, and that entrance is going to face downtown, which it probably should have 40 or 50 years ago when it was initially developed. That is an important feature. We want people to stay in St. Louis longer so that we increase jobs and improve our local economy. That new museum is going to be a magnet, and since it faces downtown, people will park in downtown, and people will move around in downtown to and from the arch, and they will maybe go to a restaurant or some other attraction in downtown St. Louis in addition to visiting the Arch.
Jennifer, what about this conspiracy that the caller
I can't speak to that because I've been to numerous meetings and I myself have spoken repeatedly, and I'm coming at this. I can't speak to Agenda 21, and I'm sorry.
That?
I don't know, and I'm going to speak to this from a fiscal responsibility standpoint, which would also include prioritizing how and where and when we spend our money and who is going to be allowed to control that money. I'm sorry that I can't answer your Agenda 21 question. I apologize. I just, again, this is fiscal responsibility and priorities. And we can't afford this. I like bike trails, too. I take my family out. We walk, we hike, we bike. We've got three city aldermen who said that this is not about money. That the parks are funded and it's about getting votes and support, but it's not about supporting the parks. You have County Councilman Steve Stenger who said that this is not about money, that despite the claimed crises, they met the budget for the parks in 2011 and in 2012. So I'm coming at this from fiscal responsibility and priorities, and I apologize to you.
Just to clarify, you were identified as a GOP committee woman.
That's correct.
Is this a party position as well?
The St. Louis County Central Republican Committee did endorse a no vote on Proposition P, but nothing ever was mentioned about Agenda 21. I've never discussed it or even heard it brought up at a meeting, so I would very much be interested to know where that's being heard, because I have been extremely busy running all over town, and I'm talking all over North County, South County, way West County, and even in the city, and have not heard anything concerning that question. I'm sorry.
Peter, do you know anything about this Agenda 21?
No, I'm not
21?
Familiar with
okay.
it.
Let's go back to the phones and bring in Ted, calling from St. Louis. Ted, go ahead, please. You're on the air.
I have no objection, actually, to the idea of the tax or the support of the parks. I'm all for that. However, I did want to point out that the process that's been used on the Arch grounds is a very dubious one, involving a competition that was so rigidly restrictive that even Saarinen and Kiley could not have entered it. The objection I have is that the solution that's being pushed on the national park is flawed, and there is no need to create the problems of closing off Memorial Drive and rerouting traffic and all of that. Since 1974, I've had a solution that actually is the solution that Saarinen and Kiley anticipated for bridging over Memorial Drive. The grades as they exist and the walks as they exist suggest this. And it requires no changing of traffic. It provides a street face for the museum, which is much less competitive with the Arch than what's being proposed.
Ted, let me interrupt you because time is getting away, and I want to give a chance to respond with some of the things that you said. Peter, would you like to pick up on his point there?
Yeah, simply stated, this project, the whole issue of connecting the Arch grounds with downtown St. Louis, we've done the classic St. Louis thing. We've studied it to death. It's been going on for 40 years, and it's time to act now. And the solution, the design solution that came out of the competition is a good solution, and it's going to transform what is now an isolated and inaccessible Arch grounds into a gathering place for the entire region, because it's going to be easy to get to and from downtown for people of all abilities without dealing with traffic conditions and noise and other adverse issues.
Thought?
Okay. I would like.
Go ahead.
It's off the. Not on that same topic.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Say what you need to say because time's
Perfect.
Getting away.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you're talking about many organizations that support this. I would ask, what's in it for them? I'd also like to know, you're saying that, you know, every penny is being carefully spent. Where can I find a copy of how every penny is spent? I'm very curious to see what salaries are, because I'm hearing things of $139,000 a year, which is more than twice what the average teacher makes.
Can I say something? Call Great Rivers Greenway. They'll tell you. It's public information.
I can't find it on the internet, and I've been looking. So
call Great Rivers Greenway. They'll tell you it all. They'll go down there, and you can look at all the books.
I'd love to do that.
It's full public disclosure. It's a public agency.
I'd like to say follow the Forest Park Forever model. Follow the model that was used for building the Statue of Liberty, which was private funds. You're talking about more of the money being spent here by the lower middle and the poor classes, because less discretionary income means more money going into the system.
No, Jennifer.
That's who's going to pay for this.
What we're talking about here is a $380 million project, of which $220 million – or two-thirds is going to be privately raised money. The other part, the tax, is $91 million, and there's $69 million in federal, state, and other dollars involved. Well, that is a public-private partnership. I sit on the board and the executive committee of Forest Park Forever. I've been doing it for 6 years. City money was put into that and other public money. It was not all private money. That's what a public-private partnership is. And there is strict accountability built into this with the audits and all this information.
$31 million a year annually. So it's going to end in 3 years? I thought you were talking 20. Yeah. So that's more than, you know, $31 million a year is more than $91 million.
Peter had the first word. Jennifer, we're going to give
apologies.
You the last word. No, that's fine. You have the last word. We're going to have to leave it at that because of time constraints. Peter Sortino, thank you so much for being with us. Jennifer Byrd.
Also
nice to have you here.
Thank you.
Remember,
Tom.
The vote is April 2nd. That's next Tuesday on Proposition P. Coming up, a social media peace effort that's gone viral and the man who got it all started. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.